If you're worried about whether the next 10 years of U.S. stock market performance will be similar to the past 10 years or could derail your retirement plans, you've clicked on the exact right video. I've been helping clients retire and stay comfortably retired for over 25 years as a financial advisor. And the reports I've been seeing lately from all the major investment firms give me a little concern. Fidelity just released their latest retirement analysis, and buried in the data is a shocking reality that most investors are completely missing or completely ignoring. While everyone's celebrating that 401k millionaires hit record numbers in 2024, there's a hidden retirement crisis brewing that could affect your nest egg over the next decade. Today, we're diving into Fidelity's new report and the major investment firm's shocking prediction for the next 10 years. And I'm going to show you exactly how to protect your retirement against what's coming. Hey, this is Brian, the Wealth Decisions Guy. And what I'm about to share comes directly from the latest research from Fidelity, Vanguard, and BlackRock. Now, let me paint you a picture. Meet Tom. He's 55. He has $800,000 in his 401k. And he's been saving 15% of his income and wants to retire by 65 and possibly as early as 62. Currently, his entire 401k is in the S&P 500 and U.S. growth stocks. And he has no exposure to fixed income or international funds. So based on historical returns, he should be fine, right? But here's the problem. Tom is planning his retirement based on historical stock market returns of around 10% annually. But according to the latest forecast from every major investment firm, and I mean every single one, those days might be over. Vanguard's latest capital markets model shows their 10-year forecast for U.S. stocks has dropped significantly. Schwab is projecting more modest returns. And even BlackRock is worrying about lower returns in the U.S. markets. So this leads me to my first wealth decision principle. Past performance is a promise of nothing. Future planning requires present reality. In just a few minutes, I'm going to reveal the three specific strategies that could be the difference between a comfortable retirement and working until you're 75. So stick around. Before we dive any deeper, if you're getting any value from this content, hit the like button or make a comment. By the end of this episode, you'll have a step-by-step action plan that will protect your retirement from the next decade of market uncertainty. So here's a reality check. This is what the data actually shows. Let's talk about what Fidelity's latest data is really telling us. Yes, 401k millionaires increased by 9.5% in quarter four of 2024. That's 540,000 people. It sounds pretty great, but here's what the headlines aren't telling you. Here's what really got my attention in Fidelity's report. This growth came primarily from a strong market run, not from people actually saving more. And here's the thing, these gains happened during what multiple firms are calling the end of the easy money era. Looking at the forecast from major investment firms, we're seeing a dramatic shift in expectation. In the U.S., Vanguard expects 2.8 to 4.8% returns over the next 10 years. BlackRock predicts 6.2% returns. Schwab, about 6%. And Fidelity, about 5.7%. When it comes to international markets, BlackRock predicts European equities to reach over 8% annual returns. Schwab, 7.1% for developed markets, and Vanguard said generally higher than U.S. in their models. When it comes to emerging markets, BlackRock believes emerging markets will return 8% or more. Fidelity, 8.6% over the next 20 years. This is their most optimistic projection. But here's the valuation story that makes this all make sense. The S&P 500 is trading at about 26.4 times earnings, while emerging markets are at just 14 times earnings. That's nearly half. And international developed markets are trading at 17.5 times earnings. So this leads me to wealth decision principle number two. The crowd celebrates current gains while the wise prepare for future challenges. So let's talk about the three critical mistakes most people are making right now. Mistake number one is relying on historical return assumptions. If you're planning on 10% annual returns for the next decade, you might be setting yourself up for a massive shortfall. Current projections from major firms range from 4.7 for U.S. stocks, and Vanguard forecasts U.S. equities to return 3.3 to 5.3, and U.S. growth stocks to return 1.9 to 3.9. But they think bonds will return between 4 to 5%. Mistake number two is ignoring international diversification. Here's something fascinating from the data. Every major firm in the recent surveys expect higher returns from non-US stocks than domestic stocks over the next 10 years. Yet most Americans are heavily overweight in the US. So what are those return projections? That's coming up in just a minute. Mistake number three is not adjusting for the new interest rate reality. With 10-year treasury yields at 4% and investment-grade bonds yielding 4.8%, the risk-return equation has completely changed. If U.S. stocks average 6% over the next 10 years, you're not getting a lot of extra return for the risk you're taking on investing just in U.S. equities. But here's the good news, and this might surprise you. There are three specific things you can do right now that could actually turn this potentially challenging environment to your advantage. And I'm going to reveal all three before this episode ends. So there's a hidden opportunity in this crisis. Now, here's where it gets interesting. While everyone's panicking about lower expected returns, smart money is seeing opportunity. Goldman Sachs research shows that when market concentration is high, like it is right now, there are three specific strategies that historically tend to outperform. Number one is the geographic arbitrage strategy. Remember how I mentioned that every firm expects non-US stocks to outperform? This isn't just theory. Let me give you the actual numbers that should make you sit up and pay attention. Vanguard's latest capital markets model projects international developed markets to deliver 6.9 to 8.9% over the next 10 years, compared to just 4.6% for U.S. stocks. There's one highlight in U.S. stocks, though. Vanguard expects U.S. value stocks to return 5.8 to 7.8%. Fidelity says that U.S. stocks should sell at a 20 to 40% valuation premium with non-U.S. developed markets and emerging market stocks over the long term. Now, this is far out of line with the current valuation gap of about 70%. Schwab's 2025 capital market expectations show similar patterns. BlackRock specifically mentions that international markets are at historically low valuations versus the dollar. We're talking about a potential 2 to 3 percentage point advantage annually for international markets. Think about what that means compounded over 10 years on a $1 million investment. If U.S. stocks fall in the middle and average 5%, your $1 million is going to grow to $1.6 million. If international developed markets average 7% in the middle of their range, your $1 million grows to $1.967. And if emerging markets perform at 8% in the middle of their range, your $1 million grows to $2.158 million. That's about a $350,000 to $500,000 difference between playing it safe with U.S. stocks versus diversifying internationally. Now, this creates what I call geographic arbitrage, getting better value for your investment dollar by looking beyond the U.S. borders. Plus, you're getting 2 to 3 times the dividend income, which we'll talk about in just a minute. Now, obviously, this is not a recommendation to go all in on international. In just a few minutes, I'm going to give you a bold allocation strategy that can maximize these geographic advantages. Here's something that would have sounded crazy 5 years ago. Bonds might actually outperform stocks over the next decade. With bond yields near 15-year highs, fixed income is looking much more attractive today than it did 10 years ago. Schwab's latest forecast shows U.S. aggregate bonds expected to deliver 4.9% annual returns. That's not far behind their stock projections with significantly less volatility. So this leads me to wealth decision principle number three. Opportunity hides where conventional wisdom fears to look. The biggest gains come from going where others won't. One of the things I did with clients about 2 years ago is up their international exposure from 15 to 25 to 30% in most cases, which has served my clients pretty well for the last couple of years. But the big question is, should it be even higher based upon the research from the top investment firms? Based upon what you've heard on the business channels, or maybe you've done some research on your own, my question for you is, have you adjusted your portfolio allocation based on some of these new market realities? Or are you still using the same strategy you used from 10 years ago or 5 years ago? Let me know in the comments and reply to my pinned comment about your biggest concern for your retirement planning. So let's talk about some strategies. So here's your make or break action plan. The three-move protection strategy. Move number one, the bold 50-35-15 equity split. Here's where I'm going to challenge conventional wisdom completely. Instead of the typical 80% U.S., 20% international split most advisors recommend, the data suggests something much bolder. 50% in U.S. stocks, 35% in international developed markets, and 15% in emerging markets with your equity exposure. With international developed markets and emerging markets at 7-9% versus U.S. stocks at 4-6%, and U.S. growth stocks even worse, projected to return 1.9-3.9%, you're leaving money on the table with traditional allocations. This gives you maximum exposure to the international opportunity while still maintaining significant U.S. exposure. But within your 50% U.S. stock exposure, consider allocating half of it in U.S. value because of the valuations and projections by all of the major investment firms. Now, this is something I didn't touch on a lot in this episode, but value investments look very attractive today. But one thing we haven't talked about is dividend yields, because this is where the opportunity really becomes obvious. The S&P 500 currently yields just 1.18%. That's near historic lows. Meanwhile, international dividend-focused ETFs are yielding 4.2 to 4.5. Think about that. You're getting 3 to 4 times your dividend income. So let's do the math on that dividend income alone. On a $100,000 equity allocation, the traditional 80-20 split gives you about $1,400 in annual dividends. But this bold 50-35-15 split gives you about $2,700. That's nearly double the income. Emerging market dividend ETFs are showing similar patterns, with many yielding over 3%. Think about Tom from earlier that has everything in the S&P 500. He could double or triple his income by shifting his asset allocation to more international, emerging markets, and fixed income, and increase his chances of being able to retire at 65 or even 62 with potentially higher returns closer to those that he was planning for. Now let me address what some of you might be thinking. All these major firms could be wrong. They don't have a crystal ball, and I agree with that. But one thing I've learned over my 25 years investing and advising clients is things usually revert to the mean. U.S. stocks don't just keep growing to the sky when valuations get heated. Markets correct. They have to. The disparity between U.S. stock market returns and international has been large over the past 15 years, but things have already started to shift. International and emerging markets have done extremely well over the past year. Now, we all know that past performance is not a predictor of future returns, but wouldn't it make sense to hedge your bets and not rely on just the performance of the U.S. market to allow you to retire on your terms? Move number two is the new 60-25-15 overall portfolio. For your total portfolio, 60% in equities using the bold 50-35-15 international split. 25% in bonds, taking advantage of the 4-5% yields, and 15% in alternatives like real estate investment trusts, private equity ETFs, or possibly even a Bitcoin ETF, and have some cash for some opportunities. But that 25% bond allocation shouldn't just be in U.S. Treasury bonds or U.S. bonds. With yields at 15-year highs, you have multiple options. Option A, create a 5-year Treasury ladder, locking in 4-5% yields. This gives you predictable income and protects against interest rate volatility. Option B is the high yield mix, split between investment grade corporate bonds, which are yielding about 4.8%, and high yield bonds, which are yielding about 7+%. Option C is the international bond play. There's a lot of attractive opportunities across the globe. Include even some emerging market bonds, which Vanguard projects at 6.4-7.4% returns. Yes, there's currency risk, but the yield pickup can be substantial. And option D in your fixed income portfolio is the TIPS hedge. include Treasury inflation-protected securities to hedge against the inflation risk that's built into current policies. The key is diversification within your bond allocation. Don't just buy one type of bond when you have this many attractive options. Move number three is the emerging markets value play. Within that 15% emerging market allocation, focus on value-oriented funds. The valuation gaps are even more pronounced in emerging markets, and that's where the 7.9% return projections are coming from. So here's your five-minute challenge. Here's what I want you to do in the next 5 minutes after this episode ends. Log into your retirement account and calculate your international allocation. If you're like most Americans, you probably have less than 20% in international stocks. But based upon the return projections I just shared with international developed markets and emerging markets at 7.9% over the next 10 years versus U.S. stocks at 4-6, you could be missing out on significant long-term gains. Consider whether the bold 50% international equity allocation makes sense for your situation. If you have 0% exposure to international currently, start with a smaller allocation strategy like 15% in developed markets, 5% in emerging markets, and then work your way up from there. So let's recap the three critical insights from today's episode. Expected returns for the next decade are significantly lower than historical averages in the U.S. Plan accordingly. Number two, international diversification isn't just smart, it's essential based upon current valuations. And number three, the bond market offers some great opportunities for the first time in over a decade. The question isn't whether these projections will be exactly right. It's whether you're prepared for a range of scenarios. If this episode opened your eyes to the risks you maybe haven't considered, you need to take action now. Don't wait for the market to prove these projections right or wrong. Prepare for both scenarios. Do me a favor, subscribe to this channel for weekly wealth building strategies that actually work in today's market environment. Hit the notification bell so you don't miss out on future episodes. And I would love if you ordered my book, Momentous Decisions, 7 Steps to Better Health, More Wealth, and a Richer Life. You can find the links to order your copy in the description of this podcast. Once again, this is Brian, the Wealth Decisions Guy. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.